हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौभुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So Bhima's met with Hanuman. He's on the path, and Hanuman's not revealing himself. And, you know, he's blocking the way. And then Bhima is then, you know, asking him to move so that he can go. Continue and says, well, you know, I'm ill and I'm old. So, you know, you move like this. So then he says, you know, but then you move, otherwise then I'll get trouble. The monkey remained calm. I have grown old and cannot move. Please move my tail and make your way past. So he says, you want to go? Just move my tail and then you go. Like that. You know, I can't move it. Bhima moved towards the monkey. This was surely not Hanuman. For Hanuman's power was limitless because he says he's too old, he can't move his tail. This monkey was simply some insolent and powerless being who deserved to be punished for obstructing his path and refusing to move. Perhaps he was even a Rakshasa assuming a disguise and waiting for a chance to attack. Bhima decided to take him by the tail and whirl him around till he died. Yes, it's just whoosh, because he doesn't know who he is. The Pandava bent over and carelessly took hold of the monkey's tail with his left hand. Right, so he wasn't like putting his weight, he just, you know, grabbed the left hand and then he just moved it out of the way. To his surprise, he found that he could not budge the tail even slightly. Placing both hands firmly around the monkey's tail, Bhima pulled hard. Still, it could not be moved. Bhima struggled with all his strength. His face was contracted, he was covered with perspiration, and his eyes rolled. Despite his efforts, however, Bhima could not shift it at all. The Pandava realized this was not an ordinary monkey, or even a demon, as he had supposed, right? Because the demons, he knows he can kill them. You know, it's like the Rakshasas are celestial, but he's strong enough to kill them. So it can't be a Rakshasa. So this must be some other very celestial being. Bowing his head in shame, he stood before the creature with joined palms and says, "Forgive my harsh words. Are you a Siddha, a Gandharva, or a god? I am curious, who are you in the shape of a monkey? I seek your refuge and ask you in the mood of a disciple. If it is no secret, then please be pleased to tell me, because up to now he hasn't told him." The monkey sat up. "O chastiser's enemies, as you are curious, I shall tell you. Know me to be the son of that life of the universe, Vayu, born in the womb of Keshari. I am the monkey named Hanuman, whom you mentioned earlier." As Bhima listened in amazement, Hanuman told him in brief the famous history of the Ramayana, which the Pandava already knew well. When Hanuman finished speaking, tears fell from Bhima's eyes and he fell to the ground to offer his obeisances. Rising up again, he spoke joyfully to the monkey chief. "No one is more fortunate than me, for I have seen my famous and powerful brother. O great one, I have only one desire. Please show me the form in which you jumped over the ocean. I shall then have full faith in your words," right? Because Hanuman took a huge form when he jumped to Lanka, like that. Hanuman replied, "That form cannot be seen by you or anyone else. When I leapt over the ocean, the world was a different place. It was a former age and everything was greater. Now that Kali Yuga is about to begin, all things have diminished. I can no longer display that gigantic form because everything must obey the dictates of time. I am no exception." Right, so when they're in Satya, they'll be, you know, let's say they're one who lives there in Satya, they'll be this big, then in Dwarpa, they'll be like this and like this. So they'll just match the age and all that. You know. "Therefore, please do not ask me to reveal that form." Hearing Hanuman speak, Bhima became curious to learn more from his ancient brother. "Please tell me, what are the different manners and customs of each age?" You have been alive almost since the first age. How have people pursued religion, economic development, pleasure, and liberation in each of the yugas? Happy to respond to his brother, Hanuman began by describing Satyuga. At that time, every living being was self-realized and devoted to the Supreme Lord's service. Right? They're all God-conscious at that time. With the onset of each successive age, however, everything diminishes and becomes more degraded. Virtue was fully manifest in the first age, but it diminished by a quarter in each of the successive ages. By now, Hanuman explained, virtue and religion were three-quarters lost, right? Because you're right at the end of Dwapara. About to begin Kali. So it means even though it's Dwapara, there's just a touch left of the third, so you can basically say it's three quarters gone. Like, you know, if I say, okay, it's gone up to 74%, right? So 75 means three quarters. So 74, you know, you say it's, you know, like in Bengali, you say unis bis, 1920, yeah, it's the same. By now, Hanuman explained, okay. By the end of Kali Yuga, it will have disappeared entirely. Hanuman concluded, as the age progresses and virtue diminishes, so the nature and abilities of men undergo diminishment. Everything becomes inauspicious. Even the performance of religious acts in this last age produces contrary results. How then can I show the form of which I left over the great ocean? And even if I could, why should a wise man such as yourself ask to see something so unnecessary? But Bhiman was insistent. He sensed that the very mighty Hanuman was able to show his most powerful form despite his reluctance. The Pandava greatly desired to see it, and he declared that he would not leave until he was satisfied. Right, because now he's brothers, you know, but he's seen, of course, his elder brother. At last, the monkey chief relented, telling Bhima to stand back, because otherwise he's going to get bigger, you have to be at some distance back. Hanuman rose up from his resting place and expanded his body to massive proportions. He covered all sides and towered above Bhima, looking like a second Vindhya mountain. In a voice that resounded through the forest, he spoke to the awestruck Pandava. This is the extent to which you are able to see my form. I could go on expanding myself almost without limit. My size and power increase amid foes according to their strength. Rama's devoted servants can never be overcome by any enemy. Yeah, so he says he can get going, but this is the size that he could relate to. Bigger than that, you know, he'll just see like, you know, he'll see the, the bottom of his soul, you know, like that. So it's just the. And according to the enemies, if the enemies are big, he'll be bigger. If they're smaller, he'll be smaller. The more powerful, he'll manifest more energy. So he just matches the enemy, and he can always defeat, because he says, Ram's servants, they can never be defeated, right? So, when one takes shelter of the Lord, then one is always taken care of. Bhima trembled with exhilaration to see Hanuman's majestic form. Dropping to his knees, he said, O Lord, greatly powerful one, I have seen your form to my satisfaction. You resemble the Mainaka mountain. As you are able to show such power, how was it that Rama had to exert himself to fight with Ravana, with you by his side? What need was there for him to do battle with that Rakshasa? It seemed to me that you could have immediately and single-handedly crushed Lanka with all its warriors, elephants, and chariots. Hanuman returned to his normal side and replied solemnly, It is exactly as you say, Bhima. That means he could have done it all himself. That wretch Ravana was no match for me. But if I had slain him, the glory of Dasarath's son would have been obscured. Right? Because he's a servant of the Lord. By killing the king of the demons and rescuing Sita, my lord Rama has established his fame and glory among men. Right? Because it was supposed to be his glory. And also Sita made the point. He said, I'll carry you back now. He says, no, my husband will come and take me. You know, and that'll be his glory. He's been, you know, she's been insulted by this Rakshasa. Now her husband will come and chastise the Rakshasa to take me back. You know, these are Kshatriyas. Hanuman then told Bhima to go back to his brothers. Bhima explained that he first had to find the source of the 1,000-petal lotuses, and Hanuman showed him the way to the forest where they grew. There is the path which leads to the Saugandhika forest, and there you will see Kubera's gardens, which are guarded by the yakshas and rakshasas. In a great lake lie the flowers which you seek for your wife. Hanuman came forward and embraced Bhima with affection. He briefly instructed him in the science of kingship and then said, right, you know, how to be a proper king and everything like that, because they're supposed to be the, you know, the ones ruling. O Bhima, having once again come in contact with a human, I have felt in my mind the presence of my Lord Ram, who is Vishnu incarnate, and who is the blazing sun to the lotus Sita, and to the darkness called Ravana. Right, so the blazing sun, because when the sun comes, the darkness goes. So when Ram comes, the Ravana is defeated. Therefore, I wish to give you a boon. Ask me whatever you desire. If you wish, I shall go to Hastinapur and kill Dhritarashtra's insignificant sons and grind their city to powder. To powder, yeah. Or I can bind Duryodhana and bring him here. Tell me, what can I do for you? Right? Because everybody says they're willing to just go there, you know, get rid of them. Bhima replied that he felt assured of success if Hanuman simply lent his support and blessings. Even his presence on the battlefield would guarantee victory. Hanuman replied, when you rush forward for the fight, sending forth lion-like roars, I will add my roars to yours. Remaining on the flagstaff of Arjuna's chariot, I will strike fear into the hearts of your foes by my terrific yells. So when Bhima roars, then Hanuman's roars will be there in the background, so it'll give more strength. And on Arjuna's chariot, then he's on his flag. But he'll also roar from there. And so then he'll create fear in the enemy. After embracing his brother once more, Hanuman told him to depart for Sokandika. Seeing the glint in Bhima's impetuous eyes as he made ready to leave, Hanuman held him by the arms and said, do not take the flowers forcefully, child. The celestials should always be respected. In this way, they will bestow their blessings upon you. As a Kshatriya, you should perform your duty to protect other living beings. Humbly, and keep your passions under control. Go in peace, I bid you farewell. Right? So as a Kshatriya, you're supposed to protect all of them, so therefore also these forest animals. Okay, if they attack you like that, you push them aside, but you don't need to injure them because you're supposed to protect them. They're naturally, the way he's running and yelling, they're going to get scared. They're animals. And the elephants, if they're standing in the way, just, you know, move them aside and they'll keep going, you know. Hanuman disappeared, and he's also pointing out, just don't go take the flowers, because they're the celestials. You should always offer respects to them. Hanuman disappeared, and Bhima headed towards Sagandika. As he walked, he reflected on the astonishing form Hanuman had shown him. Who could imagine such a sight, either in heaven or on the earth? Bhima also remembered Rama's glories and the great battle he had fought for Sita with Hanuman's help. Millions of Rakshasas had been slain. Bhima knew a similar fight awaited the Pandavas. Again, the all-powerful Lord, the original Supreme Person, would take part in the fight. The world would then be rid of unwanted elements, right? Because Krishna is involved, because they have all these demoniac kings and their assistants, who then are getting in the way of people being properly religious and being God-conscious. So by their removal, then you can properly establish things. Duryodhana's brothers were no better than the six sinful Rakshasas that Krishna had killed as Lord Ram. How could they then rule the world? Surely it was the Lord's desire that they be annihilated. Right, because they have that mood of the demoniac mentality, so they're not supposed to rule. You know, Earth is supposed to be ruled by pious kings, the heavenly planets with pious kings. The demons have their areas. They're, you know, from Patal to up to, I think, Talatala, like Vital, like this. And so those seven planetary systems, that's where they can stay. Right, and them staying there, then they have their kings and everything like that. So they should rule there and not bother others. Soon Bhima's mind again drifted to his surroundings. He was moving swiftly again, but the beauty of the woodlands, groves, orchards, lakes, and rivers was not lost on him. But even though he's going very quickly, it's not that he doesn't notice. The cool breeze still carried that captivating fragrance from the blossoming trees. Herds of wild elephants roved about like masses of clouds, while buffaloes, bears, leopards, and deer moved here and there. Bhima pressed on, right? So it appears now he's not roaring and disturbing everybody. He's just, you know, running. Bhima pressed on. Just after noon, he arrived at the Sukandika region. There he saw the lake filled with fresh golden lotuses. exactly like the one had blown to Draupadi's feet. Swans swam upon the lake, and other water birds mingled with them, all making delightful sounds. The lake seemed to be fed by mountain springs that fell into it in cascades that sparkled in the sun, right? Because also the sound of falling water is very peaceful and nice. And also when you have falling water, like water moving is purified. If it just sits, then it's not as pure. But as it moves, then it gets purified. So then it also creates a nice, peaceful, pure environment. A canopy of green and golden trees, which swayed gently in the breeze, provided shade along the sandy lakeshore. Heaps of precious stones lay here and there, right? So just on along the beach, there's just tons of the precious stones and all that. It's just like previously from the ocean it would produce. So then they'd be washed up on the beach and all that. So here, then you see that they're just here and there. Along with the thousand-petaled lotuses, other charming flowers of a dark blue hue grew on stalks made of priceless Vaidurya gems. Their beauty stole Bhima's mind. But the thousands of Yaksha and Rakshasa guards Kuvera had deployed to protect this lake saw Bhima arrive. They moved towards him, and their leader shouted, "Who are you, effulgent one? Why have you come here clad in deerskin, yet bearing weapons? Know that we are the Krodhavasas, guardians of this lake." Right? So they sing, he's there. How did he get there unless he's very pious? Two, he's very effulgent, so that shows he's very qualified. Three, he's wearing deer skin, so that would generally mean a Brahmin and all that. So if a Brahmin comes, then they'll come and receive him, and do you want to meet, how may we serve you? Maybe he wants to meet Kuvera, maybe he just wants to take a bath on his way, he's going somewhere else. So, but their guards, there's their business to check. But the fourth thing is that he has the deer skin, but they have weapons. He has his conch shell, he has all this stuff. So then he looks like he's a Kshatriya. So then, why is he here? What's his reason? And they introduce themselves, who they are. Otherwise you ask, why are you asking me? No, we're the Krodha. What is that? Krodhasvas? Krodha Vasas. They're the guardians set, by Kuvera to guard it. "I am Bhima, Pandu's son. I have come with my elder brother Dharmaraj to Badrik Ashram. There too is my wife, Draupadi. The breeze brought to her an excellent Sugandhika lotus, and she asked me to bring her more. O night rangers, I have thus come here in order to satisfy that lady of faultless features, for her wish is always my order." Right? So he's like this. Also, it's a natural thing amongst, the that kind of Kshatriya or the martial and thing, that everything is very clear and exact. You only say a few more words if it'll add some more mood and flavor to it. But you're not going to beat around the bush. It's just I thought maybe. They don't do that. They're very straightforward. Like that. So he said exactly why he's coming to Mala. And then they can decide what they do. And because he's powerful, then they may be supportive of that. Yes, he wants to take a few flowers and go, fine. But, let's see what they say. The Rakshasa placed his spear on the ground and replied, "O foremost of men, this place is Kuvera's favorite playground."
We have literally just...
Okay. Humans may not sport here, nor may they take away the flowers and fruits. Only the celestials are permitted to use this lake. But they said he's an effulgent one, but they sing he's a human, but so that's why they're confused. Others who try, disregarding the Lord of Wealth, certainly meet destruction. As you desire to take away the lotuses belonging to Kuvera without his permission, how can you say that you are Dharmaraja's brother? Do not perform an irreligious act. First ask Kuvera's permission, and then you may enter the lake. Right? So their point is, you've come to take, but don't just take because they belong to Kuvera. So they're saying about the formality. So you're Dharmaraja's brother, don't do something wrong. Dharmaraj means he does everything according to the law. And so therefore, since these belong to Kuvera, you ask Kuvera, and then if he says, you bathe in the lake. Because why bathe in the lake? Because to take the flowers, you have to bathe in the lake, because you have to go into the water to take them. Bhima did not care for the warning, right? That's what Hanuman before said, he should always respect the celestials. Right? Because he could have just gone to Kuvera and asked, but then, you know, if he didn't, you know. He had little regard for Rakshasas, right? So that's the problem, is he doesn't like Rakshasas, and they're the guards. And was certainly not going to be told what to do by them. Completely forgetting Hanuman's admonishment, he placed his hand on his mace and boomed out. Oh, wait a minute. We're supposed to end?
Yeah, we're just running here.
Hmm?
Yeah, we're in 21 minutes.
Okay. Oh, Rakshasas, I do not see the illustrious Kuvera here. And even if I did, I would not pray for these flowers, right? Being a Kshatriya, he doesn't pray. It is not the duty of Kshatriyas to beg. In any event, this lake has sprung up on the mountain breast and belongs to everyone, right? Because it came here. Kuvera didn't make it. That's his point. Kuvera did not make it, nor did he create the lotuses. Why then should I ask his permission? Okay, so we'll see what happens in the fight. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada.